remind you as we stepped into this year. That book is a book of encouragement. Now, it can look like it's not, but it is a book of encouragement. It shows you how to live the Christian life. You want to see what it's like to interact husband and wife, parent and child, interact with your fellow brothers and sisters, with the law and the government. You look at the book of Ephesians. You want to see what it's like to be with God? The first three chapters talk about separation, or at least it implies that, right? So that's what we've been through. We don't have the podcast download stuff. We're having some connectivity issues there. But if you want to go back and listen to the last few weeks of Ephesians, you can go onto Facebook, listen to it, and get back up to speed, or pick up anybody's characterization of it. But I'll tell you what, man, knowing the attributes of God is something else. It's why should I even want to know the attributes of God? Any thoughts on that? Why? Pardon?
So you can learn to love like him.
Anybody else? Recognize his will. Recognize his way, Yahweh, right? Well, I'll tell you something. We learn from something, don't we? We're always learning from somebody. What are we learning from? 43 years old. Thank you, Brent. What are we learning? Well, how did you learn how to read? Who taught you to read? Grandma? Did your mama? Did your daddy? Did you read yourself? Did you just pick up a book and go, hieroglyphics? Right? What? Where'd you learn to read? It's the new year. You can talk. Who taught you how to read?
Our parents.
Your parents? A parent? Right? Who taught you how to tie your shoe? I know some of you are the newer. You either have flips like I do, or cowboy boots, slide on. Some of you have Velcro overs, which are comb overs with Velcro. Okay?
You didn't have YouTube?
You didn't have YouTube? Who taught you how to tie a shoe? Who taught you how to make a hamburger patty and cook it? Who taught you how to chop up vegetables? Anybody teach you that? Who taught you how to talk? Who has taught you how to reason? Do you know what reason is? You might want to know when you're in court. They say beyond a reasonable doubt, right? We're about copying, right? We're copycatters, aren't you? We are copycats, right? You think about crime. There's people that does copycat crime. How come they never report copycat doing something good? Copycat dig a ditch, or copycat blowing leaves out of somebody's yard, or copycat clearing their gutters. Is that something you would pay to watch? You wouldn't, would you? How about who taught you how to dress or wash? Some of you need to learn how to wash your clothes, right? Still. Who taught you how to wash your clothes? Do you iron them? No? Say again?
There's a fancy button.
My dryer has water hooked to it, believe it or not. Yeah, do you have that? Yeah, it's so great. You put that wrinkle-free thing and the steam goes in there. Doesn't cross with the electricity, right? Who taught you how to eat? I used to get so mad at my mom. She would have the table all set up, you know, just like you would find in any fine restaurant you would go to. You know, you always work from the outside in, right, if you don't know what to do. And she'd show us how to set the glasses up, and specifically, I'm like, why am I learning all this? She goes, you never know when you're going to be sitting at the table of dignitaries. And I have sat at the table with dignitaries, international and national. And I'm not one bit bound by worry on what to do when I get there. I'm thankful for that lesson. My mom taught me stuff. Did any of y'all have a bad dad or a bad mom? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? You learn good things from them, right? You learn how not to be the bad side. How did you know what the good side looked like? You just do it in reverse. If they whack somebody, you don't whack them. If they use harsh words with somebody, you don't use harsh words, right? If there's things that about your parents you grew up with, you don't like the way they did, you don't do what they did. I know my mom asked me, she said, David, and she looked at me, David, did you ever listen to anything I said? I said, Mom, I listened to everything you said. I just didn't use everything, only took what I needed. That seemed to satisfy her, you know? It's good stuff. Imitate. The imitate means to attempt or endeavor to copy or resemble. I notice a lot of you guys are wearing plaid today. I love that. This is dark blue plaid. It only has, it's one color, plaid. It's a plaid day, right? Who taught you how to wear plaid or that you even liked plaid, right? God doesn't make squares, does he? Well, he does, people that are conforming to him. No, squares, right? It's to follow in an order or in a form. In the military, when we went in, they shaved our head. My long blonde locks were this long. There's a product called Prel, and I used to use about that much because I had a lot of hair. And I used that much on this much hair, and all I had was a bunch of dry scalp and peeled off skin. I used way too much soap. I was just a kid. I didn't think much, you know. But we learned how to do different things from each other, how to do hospital corners with a hanger when you're making your bed, how to fold your stuff a certain way, how what not to do. You know how we learned what not to do? Because they threw everything out on the ground. We had to start over again till dawn's. We learned how to march in step. What does that have to do with learn how to work with the guy next to you? How to shoot weapons, how to jump out of aircraft, how to deal in sub-zero temperatures, how to deal in extreme heat or extreme cold. Learn how to eat from the ground, you know. We learned that kind of stuff. You know, does that apply today? I'll tell you one thing. I won't be, if food runs out, I'm not going to be hurting for it because I'll know what to do. You know, we learn things. You know, I love somebody was talking about YouTube in the day, right? Well, let me tell you something. YouTube is a great resource. I'll tell you one of the best resources you can do is learn how to survive. And surviving isn't running down at the last minute on Thanksgiving to get that can of cranberries because you forgot to get it a week before. That's like learning how to take care of yourself in when emergency situations come up, right? We learn that. We learn stuff from each other. We learn morals. How do you know what good is? How do people that don't know Jesus know what good is? And what's wrong? They learn these things, right? There's things that God's already written on our heart, right and wrong. You know, not a one of us are without excuse. How about good manners? Yeah, some of you folks didn't have good manners. Some of you folks learned good manners while you're here. Some of you already had them. You know, my mom used to get all upset when I would teach barefoot. That's just not how a pastor should be. Best compliment you could give me. You just don't look like a pastor. Thank you. That was from my wife. Why are you using a round table? You guys remember when we used to have a round table up here? Why are you using a round table? Because I don't like those cockeyed things. I can't see everything I need to see right in front of me. I'll lose it, and then I'll think about it, and I'll forget what I'm teaching on. Why do we have a table that goes up and down, looks like it belongs in, I don't know, some guys are taller. If Glenn's here, we're going to pull it up to about this height.
Makes it easier.
That's right. We follow mannerisms. You know, you don't think that's true? Do some of you in here have more than you in your siblings group? Are you the only sibling? Do you have other siblings? When you get together, do you all kind of look alike, talk alike, sound alike? Whether you're adopted or together as one, you just act the same, right? You look alike, you talk alike, and all that, right? It's so funny when people get together. When I get together with my family, I can see my mom and dad written all over them, you know? Not everybody in my family speaks with a southern drawl. I do. I prefer it. It's easier to talk. When you don't have to say, I'm going, that's a lot of mouth moving. I'm going. I'm fixing to go there. I like the economy of words. That's why I like the southern vernacular. And when you're in trouble, when you cross my and got my ire up, you will hear nothing but southern come out because I'm cutting to the chase quick because there's a mud hole coming soon. You know, I like how Paul states it in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible. I don't know if I have it back there. Do I? I do? And you should imitate me. Now, hold on here a second. You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Whoa. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to follow Christ? Can I tell you something? There's times that they won't know Christ. Do you understand? Now listen, keep your eyes open. Do you understand that there are times that they will not know Jesus, but they'll know you knowing Jesus? Do you know that's okay, right? In the short term. Because they're learning about God through your animations. Do you understand that? They're learning about God because the way you have learned about God, and they're learning from you as they learn to follow Christ. That's what Paul's telling the Ephesians. This is an encouragement. You should imitate me as I imitate Christ, as I copy Christ, as I'm like He is. Next slide, please. Thank you. Now, keep me going here. Is that all? Okay. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let that stale. Oh, that's a different one. That's not 1 Corinthians 1. That's okay. I'll go ahead here. I'm so glad, dear brothers, that you've been remembering and doing everything I taught you. But there is one matter that I want to remind you about, that a wife is responsible to her husband, a husband is responsible to Christ, and Christ is responsible to God. Did you notice you may have had a hard time with that first one? Did you see the pecking order that Paul laid out because he understood what God? God to Jesus, Jesus to man to his woman. It's a covering. It's a covering. It's in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Again, it says in verse 3 of that, but there is one matter I want to remind you about. A wife is responsible to her husband. Do you understand the word responsible? That means you have a responsibility. That means you have to respond in kind. Women that are married or fiction to be that way, do you understand that your job is to get so dialed into the Holy Spirit and get a practice of that ongoingly all of your life, that when He speaks and you know it's information from Him, that you need to deliver that to your husband, and then you have to go to the Lord and say, when do I need to deliver that? And what happens if He doesn't receive it? Pick up the Bible, hit Him 3 times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? No, don't do that much. You be patient with that process, because God's going to make that time. If you try to jump the fence on this one too soon, it's going to be too soon, and that fellow's not going to hear it. Men, you need to respond to Christ. You have got to respond to Christ. Well, why don't the women have to respond to Christ? Yeah, but you know something? Paul's telling the men, you got to respond to Christ. You're responsible for your response unto Him. When he, you know what you're supposed to do with your lives. I'm not going to go on a dissertation about men, because we've done that plenty. But don't worry, we'll come back to it. That's why I always say, men, get up and get the communion for your bride. Open the door for your girl. Why? I can open my own door. You just disabled a man from being the gentleman he was designed to be, woman. You just disabled that, and you chose to do it. I can open my own door. Yes, you can. And oh, by the way, don't let it hit you on the backside on the way out either. You know what? It took me a while to break Mary Lou down on opening that door. And now, you know what she does? She stands over by her door.
Waiting so patiently.
She does. And she doesn't have to wait long, because I'm usually there ahead of her. And you know what? I open that door. And you know what she says? Say it loud.
Thank you.
And it sounds about like that. Thank you. And yeah, exactly. And I say, you're welcome. I love opening the door for her. Why? Because you know what it says? Click, open, close. Click, I, open, love, close, you. I love you. It's just one other way. You know, I like going outside if her car's outside and cleaning the windshields off. Did you know the men here are conscripted, our ushers and security? They're conscripted inside that HVAC closet. There's a little, a little broom for snow. That's designed. Dan, you know those blue things? Snow blower, Joes or whatever they're called. But it's to clean the snow off. When you get out there and you see, I can get my own snow. Yes, you can. But you need to allow our men to be gentle men. Not gentle as in weak and puny and another woman. Gentlemen is that they've got under control all of their viabilities to be able to pour that out on whoever they're pouring it out on. I love it when I see our men literally mad dash out to pick up one of the babies that are in the baby carriers, you know, and walk them in, swing them over. No, they don't. Walk them in and help that. You know why? I love seeing the relief, because I don't look at the men doing it. I look at the woman that has the baby. She goes, you won't see it if you're not looking for it. And women, don't make it now that you know, don't make it something. But you get to see that look on their face. It's like when they're coming in with groceries and they got a bag of groceries. What are you going to get to? Come on, get them in here, woman. You're strong enough. She's a strong girl. She can do it herself. No, you get in there and be that hero, right? Don't be a zero. Get out there and give it a whirl, right? Ladies, let your men do stuff. They're wired for it. It's part of their DNA to serve you. Men, if you're not serving them, you need to get your DNA wired. Look, washing feet is not something that's fun. You know, you look at my feet, I go barefoot all the time. I'm in my flips all the time. My feet are rough and crusty. Dave, I don't want to know that. That's what it's like when your feet are against the world and against the ground, right? She ain't going to wash my feet, and I don't want her doing it. I don't want her anywhere near my dogs. That's my job. So you know what I want near her? I want her to know that I'm there to serve her. I want her to know. You know what sexy is? Me washing my wife's dishes. She has her dishes. I don't have her dishes. She has her dishes. She has Christmas dishes. She won't let you wash her Christmas dishes. You come over to eat at Christmas time. No, I got them. She won't let you wash them. Anybody lives with us know that's how it is. I wash her Christmas dishes. And I'm not looking for any favor of her. You understand? Men, I don't expect you looking for favor of your wife. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Remember, you got to be responsible unto the Lord. What are you making a bunch of women out of a bunch of men? No, it's a team thing to clean a house. Unless you got the funds to have somebody else do it for you. And by the way, yeah, it's a privilege for some of you gals to possibly pick up after your men, because when they're gone, you don't have that privilege anymore. Do you feel that? Men, pick up your gear. Pick up your gear. Put your gear away. You know, if you're wearing your blue jeans a couple of days, I get that. Get a hook in your closet and hang them on there. Don't be having somebody pick up after you. That's not their job. And women, don't you dare. If you have three children and a husband, don't you say, I have four kids. Don't you ever use that. That man is not a kid. Are we clear with that? Sorry to be a little scolding, but we're just going to put an end to that today if we're doing that already. All right? Let that man be the man. Amen? Do you know why they call it a hymn book and not a her book? Because it says amen at the end of the song, not a woman. Okay, now you know. You model the Lord. Imitate his attributes. One of them is mercy. Now, this isn't going to be a wholesale understanding of attributes. It's just a few of them. We're modeling the Lord in our lives. We're going to model mercy. We deserve the full wrath of God. You need to understand the weight of that. We deserve the full wrath of God. Can I ask you a question? Would you be shaken in your boots if you had to face the Lord, his full wrath against the entirety of your entire sin? Do you feel that sense of standing before him? If you don't, think about that a little bit more. Try this. Look at me. Stand before the judge as he's pointing like this. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. It's the full wrath, though deserved, it's withheld from you. You can go, whew, it's okay. I don't want to have to face the wrath for my sin. I have to tell you something, man. This morning, in the last few mornings, I've awoken and I've just been tormented by my past. I don't mean just a little bit. I mean, seriously, the decisions I made BC, before Christ. Tormented. I've been forgiven from it, far as the east is from the west. God remembers my sin no more. Unfortunately, the enemy has fun. My flesh does too. And my memory is too true in recall. And it torments me. You know what I had to do? I had to model taking my hand, Lord. And I lay it on my head. This was at 4 this morning. I was laying my hand on my head. Lord, remove these thoughts. They're not of you. And I pulled my hand down. And guess what? They were gone. And a little while later, you know what happened? They snuck back in through the window, not the window. They came in through the window. You know what I did? I got my hand up and I said, Lord, remove these thoughts from my head. This is not who I am. My flesh is having a heyday here. You know what happened? You know what happened? They went away. Who'd I learn that from? Holy Spirit. Why? Well, we lay hands on you when you're hurting, don't we? Were you just prayed for a little bit ago? How'd it feel? Know that woman cared about you? Feel good, right? Feels good when God cares. You know? Look here at Hebrews 4:16. Now we'll bring it up. Do we have that? There it is. So let us come boldly to the throne. Do you understand boldly? That's not like, I'm Superman. Peace, I know. Superman, I get that, right? That's what we think. Boldly comes in with a humility. It really, believe it or not, it's an under control humility. Go when you look in Blue Letter Bible, pull this scripture up and then look at the etymology of the word. I think it'll make more clear to you. So let us come humility to the throne of the gracious God. You know, the confidence, when you come up boldly, there's confidence in knowing what's going to happen next. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Isn't that great? Don't you want to model that? I mean, think about it. Somebody that's just done you a wrong. They haven't done you a solid. They solidly done you a wrong. Can you imagine if they came to you and all you had for them was, man, don't worry about it. I got you. I got you. Don't worry. Dude, yeah. And you see how people, when they feel guilty, right? They're coming at you. They're not throwing guilt out there because they want to get out from under it. They're throwing guilt because they feel the burden of the wrong. And you said, man, it's okay. You're forgiven. Repeat after me. You're forgiven. When you tell people you're forgiving, you're saying, in your heart of hearts, you're saying, I trust God with the outcome of forgiveness. Those two words are very powerful. You're forgiven. I love you. I care about you. We come in there and get that mercy. We get to convey that to others. Let me ask you a question. Now think about this long and hard. Do you want to start using this attribute in your life? All you have to do is just ask the Lord for the opportunity to use mercy and you'll get it. Or you'll recognize it when it comes. Right? Remember, we deserve that wrath. But he's taken it away. Look at this other one on mercy in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God is so what? Rich in mercy. And he loves us so much. I love it how Pastor was playing that song earlier. God's name is Howie. Howie loves us, right? He loves you so much. Did you know that? Can I encourage you in this new year to start carrying the weight of knowing, this isn't a burden weight, the weight of knowing that you are so loved and he has no intent for harm of you. Do you understand? You respond differently. When mercy has been given to you, it's a Pez dispenser for you to give out. There are times, as a pastor, there are times that I have my days that it's hard to give you mercy. It's hard for me to give you mercy. Because you come up so many times, right? But guess what? Each time I get to practice it. You know why it's hard? Because I want my way just like you want your way. You understand I'm still a human being just like you are, correct? Do you get that? Did you know that? That I'm just a human? The only difference between you and me right now is I'm barefoot and you're not. That's it. We're just a couple of peas in a pod, right? Yeehaw. One more on Titus 3:5, please. Titus 3:5. He saved us. Who saved us? Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of what? Say it. Mercy. His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Look, being barefoot in my life, when I go to wash my dogs at the end of the day, there's a pile coming down that drain, pile of dirt, right? I understand about washed away sins. I see it when the dirt leaves my feet. Y'all have your shoes on. You don't see it. You don't see that bacteria rolling off your toes from your sweaty tennies, right? But if it looked like dirt, you would see that being washed away. You would have an understanding of what it's like to be scrubbed by Christ. Isn't that great to know? So you're scrubbed clean. Don't be mean. Kind of easy, huh? Pretty wild, huh? Ephesians 4:7. What is this one here? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. He set the measure. Grace means you don't have to checkbox anything to get the favor of the Lord. He just gave it, right? How about Hebrews 4:16? I think we may have had it, but we'll look at it again. Yeah, so let each come boldly and throne for gracious God, and we'll receive his mercy, and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Do you understand that there are people in your life that, since now we're talking about modeling the attributes of God, there are people, listen, there are people in your life that need you to show them grace. They need you to show them favor. It was kind of interesting in the earlier prayer this morning. We were talking about Brent, myself, and a couple other fellows were doing a project together, and these other fellows didn't know him. And when we got done, I said, "Hey, man, let's huddle and tell God thanks." So we huddled and told God thanks, and looked up and said, "Love you, man. Love you, man." Looked at this one guy, said, "Love you." He goes, "Love you too, bro." And this other one says, "Love you." He goes, "Huh?" I said, "You love me?" He says, "Well, I don't know you yet." And it kind of took me back a little bit, because I'm so used to y'all saying, "I love you too." I love you.
I love you too.
See? That didn't happen. I go, "Oh yeah, I'm in the world within Christianity that doesn't know that love too." You know, I was sitting there thinking, when we're to give out love, we're to give out love without reservation. To your love your enemies. Did you catch that? I love you. I hate you. No. I love you. But you just poked a finger in my eye. I know. I love you. Do you understand? We start with love. We start with love. We don't go, "Okay, well, he jumped through this hoop, and oh, here's his little poodle skirt, and he jumped through this next hoop." That sounded weird, didn't it? We're not doing that. We start, everybody gets an A in love world, or an A+. Everybody you see starts with an A. And it doesn't stand for an ass either. It only is when you don't give it. What it is that you are looking at people through the lens of the Lord and showing them love to start with, because he set the value for their lives. You have to meet that level. Is it easy loving people you don't know or like? It actually is easier than you know, because all you were told to do is love them. It's their job to keep the A. It's your job to give out the A+, A, B, C, F, you know, the grading scale, if you will. Just love people. I know it's hard when somebody's being mean to you. I get that. And some of these things take prayer, and they just do. But that's only a rare amount of the time. When you see somebody at the gas, I always use the proverbial gas station, because we all get gas for our car, right? We all go to the gas station to get gas, right? Isn't that rude when you go up there and you throw your chips and a Coke up there and say, "Do you have gas?" I'm like, "That was really rude." Look, the deal is this. I use that because most of the time I go to the gas station, I don't know the people that are there. I have to be careful, because sometimes I'll be talking to a total stranger. I say, "All right, man, I love you." "Well, yeah, I don't know them." But why did I say that? Why did I just say I don't know them? Why did I just do the same thing the guy did to me just the other day? And it felt weird to me, but now it's feeling weird to do that. But I need to be doing that, so why am I doing this? Do you understand? If you don't understand, just say, "Yeah, Dave, I understand." You can start now. Okay. It's a blessing. Did you know that? Grace is a blessing. It's an unearned bestowing of a blessing. Do you know that, what is it, a gentle word pushes away wrath? A kind word, something like that?
It's in the Bible.
I know the other day Mary Lou was bringing something to me as we were traveling to about an hour from here to go do some work. And I heard the words coming. I knew she was going to jump on my case. and she brought kind words. So I was preparing for it because we were fixing to go at it. Because I'll go at it. Fixing means preparing too. So I was preparing to go out and putting on my fighting breeches, got my cock in my neck, and let's go. And she came in with these real soft words to convey the point. And I went, dang, I don't know what to do with that. Right? An unearned bestowing of a blessing. We get to model that. Isn't that great? Do we get to model that? I know we talk about mercy and grace. Haggai 2:5. Haggai. Do we have Haggai 2:5? My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So don't be afraid. God's with us all the time, right? How about Acts 17:27? Acts 17:27. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away. Stale this, not far away from anyone. He's not far away from you. That doesn't mean he's like 20 miles from you. And you. No, when it's not far away, it's like right there. He's right there all the time, you know? That's called his imminence. He is at hand all the time. So you can be at hand for other people as God puts them for you to tell you about them and their needs. And most of them is they think God is far away. They don't know his imminence, I am. That means at hand. God is always there. Well, Dave, we know that. Yeah, but they don't. And when you know that God is always at hand, it makes the mercy a little better. It makes the grace a little bit better. It makes the forgiveness a little bit better because God is at hand, right? Let me ask you a question. If you did not know that God was at hand, how would your life be? If you thought God was so far, because some of you live that way, right?
Very lonesome.
Very lonesome. We talked for 5 weeks on separation of man and God, didn't we? Up until just today. And here we are talking about it. Right? It's a very awkward feeling. I know on my first extended fast period, I was so intimate with the Holy Spirit. And then the next series of time was 40 days with the Lord, 40 days of nothing. I heard nothing from him. It was like being in a dark room with no light for 40 days, spiritually speaking. It was the most horrible 40 days of my entire life. And he showed me the juxtapose of the intimacy with the Lord and the absence thereof. God is imminently with you. He is always at hand. Isn't that great to model that? You model the assurances that you know that. You model that when somebody's going through a rough time and say, let me reassure you of him being at hand. Exodus 3:5-6, please. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals. It's right there. It's right there, by golly. There they are. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. That's right, the sewer line goes right through here. Go in the next. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of, fill in your name. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to even look at God. You know, he's holy. Go back to the former screen, please. You're standing on holy ground. It just means to be set apart. And his righteousness, let me give you a better word that would maybe help satiate purity. God is pure. There is no defiling in him or his motives. His motives are pure. Isn't that amazing? He's holy. Be holy, for I am holy. That's our modeling, is to be set apart. Look, this thing takes work. Oh, I'm just a guy walking with the Lord. No, you have to work out your salvation daily. In fear and trembling, that means in respect. Look, you're working through this thing. You're taking your thoughts captive. You're thinking through. I could have just this morning and just gone through the whole morning with these weird thoughts in my head, coming in here with weird thoughts and now trying to convey a message with weird thoughts. I know the Holy Spirit will bulldoze those out. But taken the hand and it's like, Lord, please remove these thoughts from my head. They're migraine worthy, you know? And then to get to see him do it, oh, that's right, he's near. He answered a prayer. He was merciful in my thoughts that went awry. And then my relationship with him builds even more and more so. And I get to emulate that way with him, that holiness. You get to be holy. It's a privilege to be set apart. It doesn't mean wearing white coats going, oh, with a little light shining from behind your head. Holy, see his glow. Right? It's not like that. It's living a more pure life. It's living a life in right standing with the Lord so you're in right standing with mankind. It's a privilege to live like that. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I do not change. This isn't a political slogan. Oh, hope and change. No, you're going to hope they don't take your change. This is a different thing. The Lord's immutable. Say it, immutable. He does not change. We do, don't we? I mean, we'll change our clothes. If the mood doesn't set, we'll crank on a different tune. We'll change our mind. We'll go one direction and change. No, 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 watch. How am I to convey that? By letting your yes be your yes and your no be your no. And before you give your yes or your no, you think it through. If somebody asks me to do something and they want to know right now, unless it's jumping out of a plane or I got a fire in my house, it'll be like, no. I used to not be that way. As a people pleaser, that'll get you in a hurt. Wrongly done, that is. And wrongly done meaning saying yes to everybody and ultimately saying no and becoming a liar and not showing up when you said you would. The ability to hold the line when you think about making commitments to people that you don't change. Let me ask you this. Have anybody ever set an appointment with somebody and they didn't put it in their calendar and didn't show up at all and you just blocked out time for them and they didn't show up? Have you had that happen? How'd you feel about that? Let's not do that to God, shall we? You set a time for him, make sure you show up and you show up eagerly. You set the appointment. He's always there. We already discussed that. But he doesn't change. Oh, the Lord has called me to this church. Oh, when I hear that, I go, yeah. Okay, we'll see. That happens way too often. We throw the word about calling out way too easily. If you're called to do something, God doesn't necessarily uncall. He may call for a short or a long season or a forever season till time you go home. But be very careful about that word call. You know what he called you to? Himself. That's all you got to really know. And the rest of it is conveyance of all the above. And you get to model this. Can I go to Job 12, 12 through 13, please? Job 12? No? Is it up there? Okay. Wisdom belongs to the aged. I'm sorry. And understanding to the old. Now keep going. Watch this. Next line. But true wisdom and power are found in God. Counsel and understanding are his. Do you understand the hierarchy of that? That's wisdom. You want the best gift from God? Follow the dream of Solomon when he had the opportunity to have wealth and power. And he said, I prefer wisdom because wisdom I'll give you both. And God said in his dream, since you did not pray to take your enemy out, I'll give you the power and the money too. And the statistics still hold. 0.1%, the wealthiest person this day would have had, that would be the relevance to the amount of wealth that Solomon had in his day. 0.1%. That's 99.90%. For you other mathematician. Wisdom, leave that up, please. Wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. Okay, we all know the thing, right? Tomatoes are fruit, right? But you don't put it in a fruit salad. Right? That's okay. It's a generalization. The choice of laudable ends. You know what laudable is the applauding. It's like, yeah, that was a great righteous. You know when you've had some really great wisdom in your life? You're like, yes, yay, I got through that one. Well, that's God's, obviously, you know. But it feels good when wisdom works, doesn't it? I mean, really, doesn't it? Don't you love it when wisdom is working in your life? I know some of you don't have it, so you're still kind of struggling. I'm kidding. What's that? Yeah, that's me, right? Yeah, you get to model wisdom. You know, it's okay for you to be a sage of wisdom. If I hear that you're, or I sense that you're a sage of wisdom, that tells me you've been spending time in the Word and you're of God, and I will listen to you. If you're a fool, and I listen to a fool, and I'm taking that response, then it's going to be hard to tell who's the fool and who's not, right? We just want you to be the counsel of the wise, right? 1 Peter 1:17, please. 1 Peter 1:17. Yes? No? I didn't put it in? Will somebody read it? Or can you put it in? Oh, I think I have it. The Father, without partiality, judges according to each one's work. I'll read it. I have it here. I'm sorry I didn't get it in. It was a late bloom. The Father, 1 Peter 1:17, without partiality, judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourselves throughout the time you stay here in respect or in fear, right? There's temporary residence. God is just as injustice. He's founded in truth and fact. You also need to be the same. Founded in truth and fact. Live your life, women. Live your life, men, as just men and women. And justice, by the way, requires a forgiveness element to it. It's the last piece of judgment. In a just sense, I steal or I crime against somebody, I have committed a crime. There needs to be an adjudication, and there needs to be a penalty. Once that penalty has been resolved, everything's done, right? But with you, it was different. You had a crime against the Lord. You fought against Him. You chose the world over Him. That had to be adjudicated, and somebody had to pay the price, and it was Jesus the Christ. The fourth part of the propitiation scale, because this part is just the atonement. The complete of the propitiation is the fourth part, and He treats you as if the crime never happened. Isn't that wild? You're back in relationship with Him, though you treated Him like dirt. You wiped my bare feet on His soiled, on His garment and soiled it, right? And now He has adjudicated that because of Christ, paying the price, and He brought you into relationship as if it never even happened. Or your sins far from the east is from the west. It has to be far away. It's hard for righteousness and sin to dwell together, and it's not in God to be like that. He's just. And you get to model that. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind. You're of God's kind, right? So that's the kindness. That's, you always got to understand the consideration. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted. That means have a pulse. Care about knowing not your righteousness, but possibly the truth in a situation. Forgiving one another, just as God through Christ, we just talked about this, has forgiven you, paid the penalty, and restored you in relationship back with God. This is how we're to be with each other. You know, if you rob me money-wise, I'm not going to be happy with you. There's a crime. We're going to have to resolve that. Will I be a little more cautious with money around you? Yes. Will I be your friend? Yes. You had a bad day. If you're doing this regularly, you're going to have a bad jail term. I will forgive you in the emotional sense, but there will be an adjudicated matter that will need to be taken care of if we were not able to resolve it in the church. God is compassionate. We have to be compassionate. That's what this is about. I don't know. It left the screen. Sorry. Compassionate. Having a temper or disposition to pity. Inclined to show mercy. Merciful. Having a heart that is tender and easily moved by the distresses, sufferings, wants, and infirmities of others. Look, when you see somebody that's infirm, they're sick, they're hurting, we step in. Not once and done. Not go out and get money and then go out and make a picture for your stupid reel that you can see other people doing good, right? The only one that matters is the Lord. Now, I don't mind the reels because I think more of that's not a bad thing. I love it when they're showing people how easy it is to take care of another. But you got to have a heart for compassion. And I get pretty moved to tears when I see those. Love, in a general sense, to be pleased with, to regard with affection, on account some qualities which excite pleasing sensations or desired gratification. Love, caring about someone. Love, an affection of the mind, excited by beauty and worth of any kind, or by the qualities of an object which communicate pleasure, sensual, or intellectual. Because there's various branches of love, and we have to use other words because we don't understand eros or agape or phileo. Do you understand? They have different words in the Greek for love. We have one word. I love a cheeseburger. I also love a salad. I love Mary Lou. I love God. I love my dog. And I love my nephew, Danny. I have to use one word, but you guys understood all the intentions, right, around it? Love is, you want to know what love is? It's the opposite of hatred. We know how easy it is to hate somebody, right? I hate that guy. I hate that gal. Love is the opposite of that, would you say?
Unconditional.
Unconditional. Unconditional. And that the guy I was using earlier in that thing was having conditional. I don't know you. That was his condition, you know. We get the opportunity to practice love. Do you really have to know someone to love them? You don't. You have to know someone to have more intimacy within the love realm. Intimacy is not a sexual connotation. Just the intimacy, the discourse. Yeah. I wrote this. It's sad when love is absent. God loves his creation more than creation loves itself, and he loves it even more so. He loves you more than you love yourself, and you love yourself pretty good, so do I. And he loves you so much more, right? John, 1 John 4, 8 through 16. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Please, keep her going. God showed how much he loved by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that we loved that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expressions in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who have declared that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they lived in God. They live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have to put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Wow. You don't have love, you don't know God. Did that kind of rip you a little bit? It's a great truth of Scripture. He loves us in spite of all of our faults. Isn't that amazing? All of your faults, the ones that you've had this morning, all 20 of them, or 7, or I had no fault this morning, pride, there's one. It's okay. It's okay to acknowledge those, but just don't be caught there, right? Receive the forgiveness and then operate in the same for others. God hates the work of iniquities, and yet when we do the work, the iniquitous work, he still loves us through it and beyond it. I think that's spectacular. I think that's just the highest of highs, to know that he takes me back. Do you know he takes you back? Well, where were you? I don't know. I left the ranch. Well, get back on the ranch. Jump over the fence and come back. We are copycats. That's the intro to the message. What he says is this in Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Imitate God in everything you do, for you are his dear children. Imitate God in everything you do, for you're his dearest child. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Do you understand when you love with that humble love? When you love A-plus love, where you just, everybody get love, love, love. It's not like that. It's like, no, I love you. It's a respectful love. So I love you. God loved you enough to make you in his image, whether you acknowledged him or not. He loved you as that much. I need to love you of that kind of love. And guess what? When you love like that, you stinketh much to the world. You smell like, we drove by a feedlot the other day. I didn't realize we were dry. Come back from Fort Morgan, it's easy to do. I thought the dog passed wind. I looked at the dog, I was like, did that dog just do that? I said, Mary Lou, did you do that? You know, did I do that? I don't know. I don't remember. And then I saw the feedlot about a half a mile up the road. I was like, oops, sorry, my bad. We had the little fresh air that wasn't so fresh, open. That's what I smell like, and that's what you smell like when you show God's love to a dying world. When you show worldliness in your life, you smell like that unto God. But see, this is what he said in verse 2. Gains a little hot. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us. Us. We have to love the us. That's because it said follow that example. And offered himself a sacrifice that's a pleasing aroma to God. When you sacrifice, last piece, listen, when you sacrifice yourself unto others for Christ's sake, you're doing what Christ did, and it's a pleasing aroma. Wait a minute, didn't Christ pay the sins for the cross? Not me. No, no, it's not that kind of thing. You're sacrificing your will to spend the time that God would have you reserve for whoever that person or people group is, right? To humbly do the work, take on the follow me as I'm following Christ until they can follow Christ on their own example. Do you see how that all kind of ties in? It's easier than you think. It just doesn't come with check boxes of love. It just is. Amen? What did God show you? Would you let the kitchen know that we'll be out in about 3 or 4 minutes? What did God show you? Brother, go. And by the way, it's good to have you back. Danny, you're on deck. Welcome home. Hop along. Good. What did God show you?
Thank you.
Danny.
I stinketh.
You stinketh much. Ah, stinketh unto the world. Right. So you're a sweet aroma unto the Lord. Okay, gotcha.
It's our choice. It's our choice to love somebody. We have to consciously emulate and consciously decide that we're submitting to Christ and loving all, loving everybody, whether we know them or not.
One of these said it's that the last half of it says that God is always near. He's not far from us. You know, little Chris, what did you see here today, buddy? Real loud. You're going to have to yell because I am. Der. Did you hear that? How old are you? You stay 11. You'll be 12 soon enough. Okay. It's good to be 11. It really is. When will you be 12? In May? That's too far down the road. You just be 11 today, okay? When it's 12, you'll have 365 days to be 12, okay? Be 11 for now. You're still working on your 365 for 11, okay? All right, live the day. Girl, what did God show you? Anybody here get one of those rude awakenings? How graceful are we? Not very good. Go ahead, baby. Was there anything else?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, we didn't want the sordid details. Barb, what did God show you? Real loud. So this woman's got her Bible, her notes, she's got her husband's notes, she's just dialing it in right now, right? Good job. Maggie, what did God show you today? Jenna, you're on deck. One more time, please. Not being merciful and forgiving. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. Who is this message for today? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, it was for me. I don't know about you. Jenna, what did God show you, baby?
Well, I think we need to live an example of how our Lord is with walking and loving and living and shining his light and not putting it under a basket.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people that still don't know him yet. And for the ones that do know him, we have our struggles and our challenges when we, you know, we fall down. But you know who gets us right back up? He does.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that want to shut him out.
Mm-hmm.
He's there 24/7, and when things get rough, we want to run. But mm-hmm. We really need to run to him.
We should run, like you said, unto him. We should always run when there's trouble. Run to the Lord. Don't hesitate. Run, Forrest! Hey, Jenny. Father God, we thank you for the day and the things that you've shown us today. Lord, it's a couple of scripture verses, and you had such weight in here. So as we wait on you with bated breath every day, Lord, let us press into the things that matter so genuinely. We appreciate, Lord, the things that you show us. We appreciate the way that you're shaping us under your kind, under your ways, Lord. We want to continue to be more like that and less like us. Father, for those that do have weeks that are very challenging forthcoming, we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you're alive and well and they recognize you and there's a sense of calm that they've never seen before in their response. For those that have already had this type of mourning that has been cataclysmic. We pray that they see you now handling whatever situation is there. And for those that have had past orientations of rough situations, Lord, we pray that the forgiveness is abounding. That's without boundaries. That we will live in that forgiveness and that understanding and receive it as such to no longer be put to mind. Equip your people, Lord, to equip others. We thank you. By the way, Lord, thank you for the food that people brought in that we're going to chow down on. Father, folks at home that are still watching can come down. Lord, thank you for the fellowship. And this is our first meal together in 2024. And I just so love this. This is of my more favorite days regularly, is eating together. So we thank you for the food, and we thank you for the fellowship. And mostly, Lord, we thank you for you. We pray it in your name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. The first